man. Glad to see each one of you tonight. Glad to be here tonight. Hallelujah. All right. If you will, let's turn in the book of John, and it's chapter 10. The book of John, chapter 10. I'm going to read a few verses here, and then I'm going to go to chapter 11. Boy, you just need to keep on that singing. All right. Well, I don't want to speak about the good shepherd tonight. The good shepherd and what the good shepherd really can mean for us as Christians, and not just the Christian, but also to the lost. The good shepherd is there, and is there with the lost people. They don't realize it, but he is. And we must, we don't need to go out and tell them all about that, but we need to just tell them about the good shepherd, that the good shepherd would walk with them and work with them each and every day. But they need to forget about themselves. They need to forget about the things around them, forget about the world, and they need to think on their own life. They don't need to think of what somebody else is doing and nothing like that, but they need to think about the life that they're living. And we need to really tell them that, yes, the good shepherd that we know, the good shepherd's not going to send them to hell. That is their choice, and they're going to be the one that does that, not the good shepherd, not the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says up here in verse 1 in chapter 10 of John, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep." See, right there, I was talking about the shepherd, and I believe that we also can. We can look at right there also the under shepherd of the church, but we can go in any other way. But if we don't come into the in through the door, we don't know the good shepherd. We don't know anything about him. But we need to not climb in to fellowship with the Lord in our way. We must go and have fellowship the way the Lord would have us to go. I know at times we as individuals, we just want to come to church, and once we get there, we may say, "Well, I wish the preacher would just hurry up. I hope he ain't long-winded tonight, because I just don't feel like being here." Well, I always tell people, I say, "Well, when you come to church, I always remember, if you come in with a headache, And I know people has done it, and they have been to church sick. But if they will even come and allow the Lord to bless them, He will bless them, and they'll end up forgetting about the headache or had how bad they feel or something like that. But this is the good shepherd that giveth us life. Not only does He give us life, but He also gives us something to do that is meaningful. In verse 3 it says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. He calls us by his name, by our names. We are the saints of God. We are the ones that he looks to in each and every given day for us to go out and to help people and to allow people to see to where, yes, somebody else cares for them. It's just not their mama and their daddy or the loved one that cares for them, but they got someone else out here that does not know them and does not know their past, does not know anything about them at all. Loves them also. And if you're a Christian, if you're bona fide Christian, been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're gonna want to love them. You're gonna want to show them the friend that you can be. And I believe that you can also take the friendship, and you can go to them, and they can end up knowing that you're a friend. After a while, that you keep going back to them and going back to them, and they can tell that you're a friend because they have not heard anything that came from the conversations that we've had together. If I go out here, if I visit someone, and if we just talk about this, or we talk about that, we talk about where he works at, and if I don't mention anything at all to him about church or nothing like that, but when the church does come up, I'm not to go out and to brag about it. I'm not to go out and to let people know that, hey, I went over and talked to so-and-so about his salvation. I went over and spoke to so-and-so about, does he go to church? Because I believe once you do that, I believe they will lose their confidence that they have put in you. Now, I believe that we need to live the life as Jesus lived his life. But we can't do it wholeheartedly. But we can come so close to it that people know there's something, it's something just different about him. I've had other people to come and visit me. I've had other people from different churches to come and visit. But it's just something about them. Just something about them that I feel good about. I feel comfortable in talking to them. Have you ever been around somebody like that? I have. I've been around people that where I didn't feel comfortable around them. But when you come into people like that, then your spirit and their spirit's not going to bear witness. And then the next thing you know, the conversation will end, and then you go on and you go on your way. But I believe, talking about trying the spirits, I believe that God the Father will help us in that manner also. When he will ask us to go and visit somebody, and a particular individual he will put on our hearts. And I believe when the Lord puts an individual on a heart to go and visit, or call, or talk to, or whatever, we'll go to the Lord and we'll ask the Lord to help us in what we say. That we'll have a good conversation. It won't be no ill feelings when we leave or depart from each other. And that to ask the Lord just to lead us in what we must say. Because we can, because if I said on my own without the Lord's help, I'm going to run them away. They ain't going to listen. But we need to be a friend to them. Over here in chapter 15, in verse 9. And the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We know in the book of Proverbs, speaking about the friendship, and we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But we go on down here and we'll read a little more. It says in verse 12, it says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another. That's a commandment from God right there. Is that we love one another. That I love the individual across the highway. That I love the individual that gets in the automobile and drives past the church. That's a commandment from God. I didn't say it. That's what the Word of God said. So if I want to be true to God, and if I want to be a man, an individual, and a servant of God, I got to remember his commandments. I got to remember his commandments. This is my commandment. This is Jesus Christ speaking right here. This is my commandment. This is not your commandment. This is not the Father's commandment. This is not the Holy Ghost's commandment. This is my commandment. Because I went to Calvary, because I died, I shed my blood for you and for all of humanity. This is my commandment. And he just don't put out his commandments and then he's got another 15 or 15 or 20 commandments that goes right around. He's got two commandments that we're supposed to live by today. Just two. But in the Old Testament, how many to have their 10? But we have only two commandments that he's given us. And we don't seem like we can keep them. So how in the world do we think that we're going to keep the Ten Commandments, which we can't? We can't keep the Ten Commandments. Even though that in that time period when Moses went up on the mountain and when he went up there and when he prayed to God, when he talked to God and everything, God told him, he said, I'm going to give you Ten Commandments. But you're going back down. Just hold up the tablets. And he held up the tablets, and what happened? I don't know if they got a hold to Moses or what, but I don't know if he got nervous or scared or what. I don't know. But the two commandments, them two pieces of stone that where he had five on one tablet and five more on the other tablet, what happened? They fell to the ground. What happened then? They busted. That right there was a symbol in itself. And what God was telling the people there, where the people, they wanted something to go by that they could live by. Moses had been telling them all along what they must do, but they didn't want to take Moses at his word. But he went up on a mountaintop and he come back down with the two tablets. And the reason them two tablets fell and dropped to the ground and broke and shattered to tell the Israelites and the people there, you're going to break the Ten Commandments. You're going to break every one of them. You can't keep them. So you're going to break them. But he gave us two commandments for the Christians, for the believer. I thank God he just gave me two to where I can live by. And if I can live by them two commandments that he gave me, then I'll be surpassed all the others in the past that has kept all the Ten Commandments. And I've never seen nobody yet that can keep all Ten Commandments. Because if one has been broken, all have been broken. like a verse in Romans 6:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Could have said this: you have sinned and you have come short of the glory of God. It'd been said that way, he'd been just speaking to me when I would be reading the book. But when I read it, it didn't say it. You have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, he says, for all have sinned and come short. Telling me, explaining to me that not just me, but everybody else is a subject of sin. And the wages of sin is death. Yes, the wages of sin is death. What do you think Paul was speaking about right there? I think Paul was speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he said, the wages of sin is death. The wages of whose sin? My sin, your sin, everyone else's sin, was put on the Savior's shoulder. And it brought death to him. Because we should have been there ourselves. I should have been hanging on the cross. And I should have had my family should have been there at my feet. Because the Word of God, Paul teaches us here in the Bible that we must be crucified daily. Right? So if we crucify daily, what is it telling me? I need to be crucified daily. And when I am, and when I crucify my own life daily, then I'm living closer to God. Because sin has come in the inner end of my life. And that's when I need to go to Him in prayer. Thank God for prayer. I really do. This is my commandment. That ye love one another. First commandment. He said, this is my commandment. It is my first commandment to you. That you need to love people. You need to love one another. And the second one, it says, as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Jesus Christ, he don't put himself number one. We need to put him number one. But he don't put himself number one. Because he always, in everything that he says, in everything that's written in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes upon what he does and his will and everything, he's always put last. Because even with his will, he don't say, my will be done. No. He says, the Father's will be done. The Father's will must be done first. And then I believe that not only did the Father's will be done first, but the Father's will be done for who? For the believer. Then the Lord Jesus Christ. Then His will be done. See, we all have a will. We all have a choice. We can either choose to serve Him, or we can choose to serve the devil, either one. But every which one we serve, we cannot serve no part of the other one. We cannot straddle no fence. We must wholeheartedly either serve the devil or wholeheartedly serve the Lord. Because the devil don't want to have anything to do with you if you're serving the Lord. Oh yes, he wants to get you down. He wants to get you out. He wants to get that little crevice that I've brought up so many different times. He wants that little crevice where that little crack. And we can see that little crack fall off. And it looks so small. But that's all he needs. That's all the devil needs, is that little crevice to where he can sneak into. He don't want the little crevice to get into our heart. What does he want? He wants the little crevice of our mind. Because when he gets in our mind, then our mind starts overcoming the what's on the heart. Supposed to love one another. As I have. Loved you. And that right there is a big statement. Because we know that he loved us, right? Just let's think about that for a moment. We know that he loved us. He loved us enough that he went to Calvary and he hung on that tree. That where his Father grew from the little seedling, and he grew it tall enough and straight enough to where they could be able to make a cross from it. He did not even have a place where he could even call home. Even the birds, the fowls of the air, they had a place to go to every night. That they could go to, they could go to back to their nest. But the Son of God, he didn't have nowhere to go to. He didn't have no place where he could go and lay his head down at night and get a good night's rest. He had to depend on people. He had to depend on sinners to allow him to come in. Just like the tax collector, Zacchaeus, when he come down from the tree. You think Zacchaeus, when he come down that tree, he just, well, sir, Lord, I'll be down in a few minutes, but I just got to watch it. I don't want to slip and fall. No. You go look at the sycamore tree today. It don't have hardly any bark on it.
It don't. And the people said, well, that's the reason when Jesus looked up and when he saw Zacchaeus in his sycamore tree, he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Then Zacchaeus just took his arms and opened his arms up and slid all the way down. I don't know if it's true or not, but I know that don't have hardly any bark on his sycamore tree. But he was a sinner. He was a tax collector. I wouldn't want to be a tax collector even today. I wouldn't want to be no part of the IRS today. I don't know of anybody that has a good dealing with the IRS. Washington, D.C., they don't even have a good relationship with them. And they are all hand in hand up there. They all got the hand in the little money pot there. But they can't get together them own self and agree to disagree. That's just the way they are. Why? Because, see, once people gets to handling money, especially a lot of money, then their fingers, they get a little sticky. Get a little rosin on the end of the fingertips. And it sticks to the money. Well, they say, well, you know, here it is today. I gotta separate all this money to go into this pot. Separate all this, got to go in that pot and everything. And it's going to be in two or three different pots. It's going to be about $6 or $7 million. Well, I can go in and skim $25,000 off. A little off of this one, a little off of that one. Then after a while, then they skim a little more. And we, tell you the honest truth, we don't know how much that's going on today. What is going on? Because, you know, even today, we can't even look at our own statements or bank statements or the broker statements or anything like that and see, because it's not drawing no interest. They don't pay no interest rate no more. I don't think he's got to the point where he's even brought any of the interest rates up to where people can get some interest on the return for the bank using the money. Because see, if I put $100,000 in the bank, if I put it there in a savings, do you think that I'm going to put the $100,000 and I don't have $100,000? No way, I don't even have $1,000. But even that, think about it. Even with that, I could not even think about the interest. Because there's no interest there. But yet, the $100,000, I got in the bank down there, they'll turn around and they'll take that $100,000 and they may loan it to some company or some investor or whatever, and they'll charge them 7-8%. See, the bank is always getting their percentage out of it. But the one that furnishes the goods, they don't ever get anything out of it. That's just like the farmer today. The farmers that we have out here today, they're in such, well, the country is in a dire need of farmers. But they don't understand what the farmer means to the people. They don't understand what the farmer means to the livelihood. And what we're doing today, that the generation that's coming up now, the smaller children, the teenagers, they're not taught anything at all about what the farmers do, what this over here does. They don't know anything about history. Only thing that they teaching them today is how they can get on there and type on a little tablet or iPad or computer. They don't even teach them how to write. I doubt very seriously they even have even a pencil in the classroom. And that's sad. That's sad to the point that we done got to that way. Because, you know, they have predicted that within, I don't forget how many years it was there, it was brought back the 2030s or something like that, that everything was going to return back to where it has started in the electronic age. See, it's going to come back to where people's going to have to learn how to write. I mean, I can remember being at work down at Motor Parts and Equipment. Yeah, we'd have storms, we'd have a power to go out. Somebody come on in, and they need parts for the automobile, or the mechanic would need part for his job he's going to have to work on that evening or the next day. We'd get in, we had the long rack of books. We'd go in and we'd look up the model and the year. We'd get the part number out of it. Then we'd go back to the shelves and we would pick the part up off of the shelves. Then we could bring it back up and we could write a ticket out. We had one of the things of where you had you when you if you had a place of business that charged we charged them to it. What a bunch of tickets like that. Well, we could just pick up one of them tickets, write all the information down, all the part numbers down, the prices down, what the retail price was and what the wholesale price is. All of that, all the way down. Then we'd have another type of ticket that we could write, and it would be for cash, and the people would pay for it. And then we'd go to the side, and then we'd just open a drawer and put the money in the drawer. Still run a business all day long. Didn't have no power all day. We didn't need the power. Only thing we need the power was for lights. Or maybe using for a piece of equipment that maybe the shop was over using. But at least one part of the business was still operating. But today, starts a lightning, starts a thunder, they say, oh no. Well, in a few minutes, we won't have the power to go out. We're just going to have to sit around him, play a little, play with the fingers or something like that. We're going to play tic-tac-toe or something like this. We're going to have to do something because we can't do nothing. They don't know how to get in there and write anymore because they don't have their computer. And I'm just as guilty as the rest of them. I use the computer more today than I've ever had. I mean, I have it, and the Lord will give me some verses I'll read and everything. And I'll take it and I'll type it out on the computer. But I can keep up with it better that way. If they ain't the computer, and I don't have to end up having notes here, notes out here and everywhere. Don't talk to my wife. Don't say anything to her about it afterwards. But just, you know, in my office or my study, it looked like somebody's been in there with one of these blowers or whatever that you blow leaves with, and just went in there and just and then everything just blew it up. It's gone everywhere. But
you know something? We need to remember who the Good Shepherd is. We need to remember the friend that we have. Greater. We have one of the greatest friends that we can ever come up with. The greatest of all friends is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand, head bowed and eyes closed. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can stand here this evening, Father, and say, yes, we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We have a friend in you, Father. We have a friend within the Son, and we have a friend in the Holy Spirit. And as the Good Shepherd has taught us through the Word of God, we know that we need to love people, because that's your one of your commandments. That is the first commandment that you give us that we saw today. Then the second commandment is, we must love others as you once loved us. Not only just as you once loved us, as you still love us today. So, Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.